and welcome to the Dits on Wrestling podcast, part of the Project Dits podcast network. And we are still here in video form, so technology has lost again to yours truly. And I didn't even have to put any effort setting this up today, which was nice. And I'm not here alone, and there's no hiding that fact anyway, so Anthony can't go quiet on me because he's there. Is there?
Yeah.
Yep, that's there. Yeah, there. There he is.
Yep.
There
yep.
he is.
I could go different, though. I could pretend to freeze on you and just be like, well, yeah. And then just not move for a little while and try and make you think that the stream's gone bad.
That would be sad. But that I would rise to the occasion, you know, and I'd do the professional thing that I would no doubt do and carry this thing on my own like I do every single week.
Of course. I mean, you would toss me overboard and, you know, ready the crew and you guys would be fine, I'm sure. I mean, it's not like you haven't had a bad string of luck lately. It's not like, I don't know, we missed any shows recently because your battle versus technology got so intense that things almost shut down on you. So, I mean, I don't even want to make a joke about that because, knock on wood, I don't want that to happen to me. So,
or happen no during jokes. This recording because that would be sad.
I know, right? After we lead off with like, hey, we won! And then like the power goes
boom. It could be a mixture of hardware failure, internet, both of which have happened to me very recently. So, who knows?
There's so many things that could go wrong.
Who knows what could happen? But how are you?
I'm good. It's been a good week for wrestling. We had a pretty fun Royal Rumble. We had, I guess, some cool things happen midweek on AEW, if that's your sort of thing. I mean, it's not really my cup of tea, but whatever. And just kidding. I'm very excited about that. And yeah, it's been a good week. It's been a good, especially with the direction that we are taking the Dow Pod in, this was a very good week to be in that direction that we are in, given all that has happened and transpired.
Yeah, I was thinking this because we spoke before we hit record. Like, I watched, and I will do this from now on, I watched every show that I thought was relevant, apart from NXT, but we're going to talk about NXT in the next couple of weeks. I watched every show, so Raw, SmackDown, AEW, Dynamite, in one day. And I was like, wow, I have a treasure of topics to talk. And trying to pick out the ones I wanted us to talk about was hard. I literally had your name on Twitter, the DMs open. I was just like, just staring. I was just like, there was like one thing I was like, that's a definite. The Rumble, because we didn't talk about the Rumble last week, because we obviously recorded on Saturday. I was like, well, that's a definite. I was like, well, what else do we talk about? But I managed to find some stuff, which I'll let the fine people know in just a second. But something I didn't say last week, I think we catered more to people watching on YouTube than we did to the people that may only watch or listen on audio, like has been the case for, you know, nearly 2 years. Which, by the way, is coming up, our 2-year birthday, and year anniversary of being on the show. So all that's coming up.
Yeah. Spectacular.
So yeah, I guess we'll talk about it at the end of the episode, what we've got planned for it, because I think it actually lands around the same day.
It's pretty cool.
But for people listening audio wise, you know, if we do stuff that only you can do, like take away from visually, like we do apologize. Like right at the very start, there's hand movements, there's gestures,
right?
You guys can't see any of that, so we do apologize if any of that has come up, but for the most part it will be, you know, you can take it or leave it either side. So
yeah, fair enough. I also I'm really like handsome, and so I apologize to the audio only that you can't see my handsome face.
If there's anything you can take away from this that you are missing out on, that's it. That's the one.
That's it. Well, that's why people are tuning in. I think we've established that from all the demographic testing and the polling that we've done, and like census taking. I think we've, you know, pretty much narrowed down what brings the listeners in regularly.
Yeah, it's not me.
Yeah. Nope. It's not the wrestling.
All the wrestling. No.
It's me. No, not, it's none of that.
It's a sad, sad truth. It is a sad truth. Yep. But I've got to take it. I've got to take it. I've got to accept it and move on with it. But today's show, we've got a good show, actually, this week. So it's my turn for the question of the week. And as you know, we love a good segue on this show. It's a perfect segue into our first topic, which is Kenta.
Who?
You know who.
Who?
You know
who. I do
who.
Know, and I'm very excited.
Then we're going to discuss our Rumble thoughts. I know we're 5 or 6 days, well, 6 days out at this point, but, you know, there's still, it's still good to hear what we think about the, well, one of the biggest shows of the year. Who should Edge face at WrestleMania this year? It's still undecided as of recording. And finally, is this Cesaro's shot at a push? Finally. So we'll round out the show with that. But I guess we'll get to the question. Because this essentially sets up the first discussion topic of the show. So this kind of directly leads into that.
I'm always excited for the question. I like it going in blind, not know what it is. I know.
Because she's
not
good.
So much mystery.
So my question is, obviously, there's no hiding. Everyone knows, unless I'm about to drop a big spoiler bomb on somebody. AEW has partnered with New Japan this week. You know, again, we talked about it, you know, before we hit record. Like, they're now acknowledging all things New Japan on Dynamite. They did, obviously, this week. And they've also got the Impact thing going on as well. My question to you, is it too much too soon for AEW? Ooh. Like, we're only talking a matter of weeks. So, what, 4 or 5 weeks since they partnered with Impact? And now, only a little amount of time later, they're partnering with New Japan. Is it too much too soon? Is it overcrowding? Is it going to push people who they already have on their roster, who maybe should get a chance, further down the pecking order? What are your thoughts?
Ooh, good question. I don't think the Impact working relationship is going to be too stressful, because I think they did it a lot for just for vaulting Kenny up a little more, and then also getting the working relationship with Anderson and Gallows. And then I think from the New Japan side, I don't think there will be too much. Like, I don't think anybody from New Japan is going to be coming over regularly to the point that AEW wrestlers are going to get pushed down the card. I don't think we have to worry about that aspect. I will say that it did briefly cross my mind with the relationship with Impact, and then this now developing with New Japan. I definitely was kind of like, does New Japan coming in water down the relationship with Impact, or does AEW already working with Impact water down the, no pun intended, the impact of the New Japan relationship? Because if people are, especially for, I think if you're a person like myself who loves New Japan, and if you love New Japan, I think a majority of people who like New Japan like AEW because the Elite coming from New Japan, you understand the product, you understand the programming, boom. But I think for a lot of mainstream wrestling fans who AEW is trying to attract, because that's how you need to be sustainable in today's market, you have to have that commerciality. I wonder, your question is very good, because I wonder in the mind of the more casual fan, if they saw Kenta and saw this working relationship news with New Japan, I wonder if they were like, really? Like, another promotion? Aren't they already working with Impact? Isn't this another? So that's a really good, for me, I don't think so. I'm not worried about people getting pushed down the card, and I'm just overly excited because of what it means with that door being open, which we will get into in a bit. But I am, now that you've mentioned it, that was a really great question. I wasn't expecting that angle. I wonder what it's like for the casual viewer to be like, really? Another? I think in the mind of the casual viewer, it could be seen as that for some people to be like, or for the negative people to want to be like, oh, see, look, they have to work with all these other promotions because they don't have like a deep enough roster on their own. They don't have this and that. So they have to pull this promotion and this promotion. I think it gives people an opportunity to nitpick. And I think it gives the more casual fan a little pause to be like, really, another promotion? Like, who's next? Are we going to start with MLW? Are we going to start like with Ring of Honor? Like, who's next? I want that. That's a very good point.
Do you think it was planned? Like, long term? So obviously
like, this is like,
they had Impact.
Right.
And you've got Kenny Omega, you've got the Good Brothers, you've got the whole Bullet Club thing going on. Do you think the New Japan thing was already a done deal at that point? Because it makes sense if it was. Or do you think this is something that has just happened spur of the moment, last couple of weeks, they've gone, let's do it?
I know that New Japan has been on the mind of like Kenny and Cody and the Bucks, and they've wanted that working relationship, but New Japan was a bit sour with how they all left and what happened. But then with New Japan being under new management and new presidency, it's been that train got a little more rolling with each week. I think the potential for a relationship with New Japan has been in the works for a while. And then, yes, I think as soon as I don't know for sure if the plan was like, let's start this angle with Impact and then let's start this angle with New Japan. But I think once they got the Good Brothers angle with Impact, I think that pushed them 100 miles an hour in that direction to be like, we got to go for New Japan right now. Let's see what we can do. I think either way, that Good Brothers angle pushed things. It either solidified it or pushed things further in that direction and be like, we need to do this.
Yeah. And to your point of casual fans, I'm not a casual fan of wrestling. I don't know any casual fan of wrestling that would do a wrestling podcast. But
I actually, you know what? I feel like you'd be surprised. I feel like there's probably a couple out there that are just like, I mean, I watch every once in a while. I'm going to do this show.
I guess so. I guess you could just do like a monthly recap of stuff mostly that you haven't watched or paid attention to, which actually would fit what I do at the moment with NXT.
Sad.
But I'd say AEW-wise, I would say I'm a casual fan because I literally only really watch it for the benefit of the show.
Fair.
I sounds really bad saying that because it's not a bad show. I've enjoyed 75%. I've watched four shows. I've enjoyed three of them. So there you go. 75% of the time it works.
I told you we were gonna be a financial analytics podcast. The math works out.
It's coming in. It's creeping. It's subliminal. That's what it is. It's all subliminal. But I'd say I'm just above casual with AEW. So I am at that whole thing of, is it too much? Are they trying to get all these eggs in one basket to compete with the juggernaut that is WWE? But at the same time, I'm also thinking, this is amazing. The fantasy booking possibilities are seemingly endless at this point. Like, they have so many bodies to choose to go, right, well, you're going to face off with this guy. And I know dream matches are thrown about left, right, and center these days, but really, true dream matches, nah, there's not really that many left. But you could conjure something pretty damn close with Impact's roster, AEW's roster, New Japan's roster. So I'm kind of in both fields of, is it too much, or yeah, this is awesome. So
yeah, and I think that's fair. That your perspective is very interesting for that, because I'm a hardcore New Japan and AEW guy. And so I see it didn't even cross my mind of like the, is it too much? Because I was just like, this is fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm all in for this. But like I said, your question made me think like, interesting, I wonder what the casual viewer would think. And your perspective is super key in that, because like you said, like you're very much knowledgeable to everything that's going on, but you are not like the diehard, like, okay, I need to watch this every week. I'm catching up on this every week. I'm seeing this. So I think that's a fair point and a fair question to ask, because, and again, because of everything happening, like you mentioned, like so close together, like the Impact relationship is still fresh, like very much. The Good Brothers being on AEW is still fresh, is still like a new thing. And the fact that they've now taken that and then trumped it with another relationship and another appearance and the angles that that's going in, I think some casual people could see that as like, as one watering down the other relationship, or seeing it as like a weakness to be like, well, they have to bring in all these people because they don't have enough on their own.
Yeah.
Which I disagree with, but I would understand where they would be coming from with that angle.
And there's your question of the week.
That was a good one.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting that.
I know. That's what I do.
Wasn't expecting
That's
that.
what I do.
That's why
But it is the
I do.
perfect segue for our first main topic, and that is Kenta rocking up in AEW. And we
I
have.
DM'd you right
You
away.
did. You did. I was just like, what is this? I literally stayed off social media then because I was like, if. I don't want this to be something that impacts like the effect that it has on me when I see it for the first time. Because
Right.
most of the time, if I see something that big, like Sting, for example, Sting
Yeah.
coming back, I didn't really care. I honestly don't care. I don't know if that's a hot take or not. I don't give a rat's ass about Sting being in AEW. Not I saw him this week
Fair.
and I was just like,
Yeah.
I care more about Darby Allin, which is a good thing actually, because he is the future rather than looking in the rearview mirror with Sting. But
Very true. Very true.
so most of the time, yeah, that kind of stuff I see on social media, but the fact that you took the time out of your day to, I know it's a 2 second thing, but you still DM'd me, which you never do with like big stuff. You'll just let
No.
me kind of find out on my
And
own.
I made
You're
sure to do it. I tried to be as obscure as
yeah.
possible that I was like, we have to talk about what happened. And then I just left it at that. I didn't want to say anything. I didn't want to spoil. I learned my lesson with the Drew McIntyre Royal Rumble incident last year. Stayed away.
And because you did that, I was just like, right, I'm staying off social media, which, to be fair, I do anyway most of the time now. So it wasn't that hard to achieve, but I was like, I'm staying away from it. So when I watched AEW today, it was fresh. Didn't think. In fact, I was watching the show, and I was like, what was he on about? And then I was like, is that it? Is that what he was talking about? I was like, surely
Was it
not.
Orange Cassidy coming
Surely
out of the
not.
cage?
Yeah, it
What?
was the Orange Cassidy coming out of the cage. No way. And then, of course, Kenta shows up. Not expecting that at all. Can you imagine the pop
Dude, it would have been nuts.
if it was
That
in
would all
front
I
of
got
a crowd?
goosebumps thinking about it.
The moment that jacket went.
God. I knew it was him right away. You and I talked about it.
Well,
I
that's what I was
thought, and
going to
we
say
talked.
because we only brushed, we literally just brushed over it with
Yes.
the New Japan Strong. Am I right in saying that? Is that the,
Yes,
yeah.
and we talked about Moxley being on and coming back, and yeah, you and I spoke about the Kenta Moxley thing, and we talked about I thought he was going to show up at the pay-per-view, and I was like, I'm really hoping that would be awesome. And so Dynamite in America, well, at least on the East Coast, goes from 8 to 10. And so Moxley came back in and cleared house, and it was 9:57. And I remember being like, he's standing tall with 3 minutes left. Like, there's got to be something else. And they had the camera like zoomed in on him. And I was like, so, I would, and but I was like, there's no way. I was like, would they do Kenta? Would they do it now? And then it's, oh, I got goosebumps thinking about it. And then as soon as I saw anybody masked come out, attack. I was like, it's got, oh, and then he unzipped the hoodie and he had the Bullet Club
I love
shirt.
that shirt, by the way.
It's so cool. Like, the Go to Sleep Club thing is so, and that's what, again, you and I were talking off air about it. That is what to me was so cool. It wasn't just like a plain black tee. It was immediately acknowledged who he is, where he's from, what group he's a part of. He was wearing the merch of that company that he's a part of. New Japan tweeted about what happened. You mentioned it. They mentioned the briefcase. So they mentioned like a New Japan angle on Dynamite. Then we got social media posts about it. And then we got the adjusted graphic for next week's Dynamite. And they're showing Moxley with the IWGP US title. And we are in full thrall of a working relationship. And it's. I'm very biased because I love New Japan, and I have wanted this whole Bullet Club angle to be a thing for so long. And I've had two visions in my mind. I had one, which I mean, it still could happen, but in a different way. I thought Kenny Omega would eventually win the title, and the night that he won the title, I've said it on the show before, and the night when he wins the title, confetti's coming down and everybody's celebrating, and then we hear the coins drop, and Okada comes out. That was like my dream of what I thought would be so cool. It could still happen, even though Kenny's champ now. I wanted either that, or I wanted Kenny or anybody who's the champ to be doing their thing, win a big match, and I wanted someone to rush the ring and come in, and it'd be Jay White, and he would hit Blade Runner. Just so many cool things, because that Bullet Club dynamic that you have, the working relationship, the storied history, all these things, like, I wanted it so bad. And I love crossovers. I remember being like 5 years old and wondering why the WCW champion never fought the WWF champion at a pay-per-view every year. I didn't understand the concept of like, oh, well, they're different companies. I've always loved crossovers. I thought it was the coolest thing. The invasion angle should have been awesome. WWE screwed it up, but it was still cool. I loved when ECW did invasion stuff. And just I love that part, let alone with New Japan and how much quality it is. And the fact that the door is really open. This isn't just like a half-assed attempt to just be like, yeah, we're going to send over like some B-list guys. Like, Kenta is hot right now in New Japan, as is Moxley. And they put that to close out a Dynamite, and that's just like the first seed and the beginning to what I think could be so much more. And the fact that we have official acknowledgement, this isn't like when AJ Styles came to WWE and they couldn't show any, like, they couldn't say like, oh yeah, like he was the leader of Bullet Club, or he, because they didn't want to acknowledge certain things because it was like a different company and he wasn't with them anymore. Like, this is, it's each company showing the other company's product. They are in a full working relationship. Meltzer confirmed it. I couldn't be more excited because of what it means for things going forward. And that, my only drawback, yeah, dude, if it would have been in front of a crowd, that pop would have been massive. Yeah. Especially when he hit the go to sleep. Oh my God.
What did you think of Moxley's sell?
I didn't, you know what? I'll probably even get killed for that. I'm not the biggest fan of Kenta. And I know he is the originator of the GTS. Mm-hmm. I think CM Punk does it better. And when Kenta kind of like, they didn't connect. Like, his knee didn't come really anywhere near Moxley's head. And yeah, then the way so. Moxley sold it, I was just like, oh, they missed it. Whatever, I don't care. Like, I glossed over it. But it was not a clean attempt and a clean move. But I was so captivated by the fact that he was there and wearing his shirt. And it was earlier than I thought. And even again, I was hoping that Kenta would come at the pay-per-view. But it wasn't like a done deal. I wasn't like, this is definitely happening. Dude, it's going to happen. And oh my God, we got it. And it just, what it means for the future. And then, especially, and then social media now makes it even cooler. Like, Tama Tonga is like tweeting things, and so is Kenny, and like, so are the Bucks. And then the fact that the Good Brothers are involved, and you've got all this mix of like original Bullet Club and newer Bullet Club and the Elite and like storyline hatred, but also some real life hatred. And now with Kenta being in there and Jay White being in there, and then you attach the Jay White angle that's going on in New Japan right now. I'm very excited. I'm probably more excited than I should be on a late night on a Saturday. and I'm very excited right now.
I don't blame you, because, you know, as we said, you know, not that long ago, the fantasy booking that we all have at our fingertips. Well, we had that anyway, but now that can become a reality, which is pretty damn cool. And we're thinking, what do they call it now? Is it All In or All Out? Which one is it?
It should be All Out.
All Out.
Now.
So this shows how newbie I am when it comes to AEW. I know it's Noob Japan, but it's also newbie AEW. I'll have to come up with a pun for it.
Oh, I think I didn't even plan this. I swear, I didn't realize I was wearing an AEW shirt. I'm wearing my All Out shirt from when I went last year. I didn't even realize that. I swear it wasn't planned. I didn't even, and that, I, to confirm it, I looked out at my shirt and then I was like, oh, I'm wearing that shirt.
So it's All Out. There you go. So
It is.
I think now that they have this partnership at All Out, there is going to be some kind of Bullet Club angle. There has to be.
There's got to be. And just, oh my God, just, oh, I'm just so excited. I just want there to be fans. I wish it would have happened in front of fans. I wish there were fans there for this Kenta moment. I wish there were fans for when FTR debuted. That's my only, man, my only drawback. But as a wrestling fan, and that's part of it too, I got away from this thought because I was so excited. I'm very excited because I love AEW and I love New Japan. But if you're a wrestling fan, this is a very, very, very cool thing. And I know there is a large contingent of people who are pro one promotion and anti all the others. But if you are a wrestling fan who just likes good wrestling and stories and long-term booking and continuity, this is a very, very, very good thing. And it's just what a great time to be a wrestling fan. We've said it for like the last several years, like New Japan was on the rise and killing it, and NXT was killing it, and then AEW was formed. And even though I don't regularly watch like MLW or Impact, like I've seen good things and heard about good things. And then you have like OTT and you have Progress and like the European promotions, and you even have NXT UK and someone like Walter, who's not even shown really on American TV because he's really only on NXT UK, is one of the best wrestlers in the world. There's so many great wrestlers and such copious amounts of great wrestling going on. And this working relationship is just another push in that direction of like great wrestling. Like, it's such a cool time to be a wrestling fan. And I feel like maybe I'm a little biased in saying that because the people working together are promotions that I love. But dude, it's just, oh, it's so cool. I'm so excited.
And when I see things like this, obviously being the WWE fanboy that I am, the WWE mark, like it's big news.
Yeah.
And the amount of good that will come out of this, like, is more or less guaranteed. I would say there's the amount of Meltzer 5-star opportunities, like, here, you know, crazy numbers. So I'm hoping this is a fire that is lit under WWE's arse, under Vince's arse, whoever needs to do something in WWE to really push their own product. I think Vince doesn't give a shit about
that. Was my question. Do you think that Vince thinks that, like, they're invincible to the point that it doesn't matter what anyone else does? And it's like, oh, these other promotions are teaming up a little bit. Nah, I don't care. We're WWE.
I think he does. I think he looks to the past and uses that. So the amount of territories he took over, like early days, what, 80s, early 90s that he was taking over, absorbing all these territories. 80s. Then WCW. I mean, it wasn't a smooth ride, but he still obviously won out and ended up buying them. And I think from that point, and then, well, you look at the Impact or TNA's early point when they were, like, not big, but TNA was pretty damn good at one point.
Yep.
That was the equivalent of, like, throwing a little pebble at a giant. You know, it was that kind of thing. Like, it didn't rock WWE at all. It didn't affect them in any way, shape, or form. The ratings weren't harmed because of, you know, yep, Impact's or TNA's growing success at that point. And I think at this, like, obviously, AEW being on TV right now against NXT is harming NXT's ratings, obviously.
Yes.
But is it that much of an impact that Vince is like, this is a problem? I don't think it is.
Yeah.
I don't think it is. So
no.
I do think that he's invincible, and I think that's to a fault.
Oh, I agree. I think the same. I think that he still likes to have a competitive edge, but I don't think, unless he feels financially threatened, I don't think he cares, and yeah, I don't think he feels financially threatened. I think from a pure competitive standpoint, like, I think he wants to crush everyone, but I don't think it's enough to drive him further unless he feels financially threatened. And as the reports continue to show, WWE continues to make money hand over fist. And so I don't think he feels threatened in that regard. But that's the point. I wish it was like it was during the Monday Night War times, when it was like, listen, WCW is killing it. We've got to get better. What do we need to do? I wish it was that now. And it was like, hey guys, AEW already linked up with Impact a little bit. Now they're linking up with New Japan. We got to come back. We need better storylines. We need better matches. I wish we got that, but I don't think he sees that way. I think he sees it. Your analogy was spot on. I think he is a giant, and a pebble got thrown at him and it hit him in his thumb, and he was like, and just like kept on walking. Like, doesn't matter. Yeah. Literally, like, brushed it off. Yeah. And I wish it was that other way, and it should be that way, but I don't, until he feels financially threatened, I don't think it does anything to drive him in that direction towards the product.
Yeah, I don't think this is going to be a Attitude Era announcement, let's make the product more edgy kind of thing that we had during the Monday Night Wars. So, I mean, watch this space, I guess. But I think for the foreseeable, Raw will continue to be absolutely dreadful. So,
well, it's because of their champion. Drew McIntyre was the worst.
Really? Really? You have to get one in, don't you? You have to get one Drew McIntyre dig in. Well, you know,
I was going
to
leave it.
New Japan sucks.
That's fair. You can think that way.
No, I don't think that way. I think New Japan's great.
You know. I was going to leave my Drew McIntyre dig for one of our later segments, but yeah, I thought I'd get it in now while I could.
Well, speaking of later segments, I don't want to go into the Rumble too much because obviously we are 6 days past. So I want to talk winners. And I want to talk a few of the surprises. And I want to, well, let's kick this thing off. Let's rejoice in the fact that Goldberg didn't win. Which was
so happy.
There were moments when I thought, he's got it. I remember I actually popped because I was doing a live watch along on Twitch of it, and I popped when Drew would, like, I think it was more relief than anything else. But it was squeaky bum time, especially when he hit the jackhammer. I was like, oh god, here we go.
I really thought he was going to lose to Goldberg. I thought it was like and maybe it was just because you and I kept talking about it and we were both on the same page with it, and I let that get into my head more. But I really thought, like, I thought it was a done deal. I was like, Goldberg's winning this, like, 90% chance I'd give to him. Like, I see him winning this. But,
But that's the thing. It wouldn't be a surprise. It doesn't matter how... Because I think Drew is a big deal in WWE. He's not just, like, a throwaway champion. You know, he's held that belt for the majority of the last 365 days. You know, counted from WrestleMania.
With the exception
of, like, 2 weeks that Randy Orton's held it. So... to take the title away and put it on Goldberg of all people, like, it's a big ask, but you wouldn't put it past WWE. But the actual show was pretty good. I didn't watch the pre-show, so I missed the women's tag title match, but it wasn't something that really interested me anyway, because Nia Jax is in that match and I'm not a fan. And if you listen to this show a lot, you'll know that neither of us are a fan.
Yeah. You would know. I don't like her.
But there were some good matches. Carmella, Sasha Banks was actually a lot better than I thought it was going to be. Obviously, we had Goldberg and Drew, which was fine for what it was. It didn't last any more than 3 or 4 minutes, I think. So yeah. I think
with that match, I just think Drew held Goldberg back because he can't go in the ring like Goldberg can, you know, and just... you know, Drew being a terrible wrestler and just not being able to rise his game to Goldberg's level, they had to keep it short.
Yeah, yeah. That's exactly what it is.
Spot on.
And then you had the last man standing match between Reigns and Owens. Forget the handcuff botch.
Dude, that was my... I felt so bad for them because I was like, oh no, he really can't unhandcuff him. And then, like, you saw the referee counting, and once he got to 5, you could tell that he was like, 5! Oh no, he can't get it undone, let me stop counting. And then, like, they zoomed in on the camera, and I was like, oh, they've stopped counting because he can't get undone. And then finally they got to the point where, like, he was still stuck, but he could at least, like, crouch and be on his feet. I felt like... It was a bad botch. I really felt bad for Roman and Paul and that ref, because that's like being live on stage in Broadway or something, like forgetting your lines.
Yeah.
And not like just, and how pressure packed you have to feel, like the stupid key, like I can't, stupid cuffs. Like I would be freaking out. Yeah. Like, oh man, I felt so bad for him. But the match was really cool. Good spots, good pacing. I really wanted Owens to win, but for the sake of the belt and storyline things, I wanted Roman to continue with the belt. It was one of my WrestleMania wishes, but really good match, really, really fun match.
I don't want to go into it too much because, you know, it's not really what we're talking about this week. But it seems that Owens is still in the title picture. Following SmackDown this week, he hit a stunner on Reigns to close the show. So I honestly don't know where that's going. Are we going to get another Reigns Owens match? To be honest, I think feud shouldn't last any more than 3 months. But if it's good, it's good.
I'm fine with it. So, yeah, especially with the way this one ended. Like, because technically, like, Owens, like Owens, the way they build it, Owens would have won had Reigns not grabbed the ref and thrown him into that thing. Yeah. So you could, well, as soon as you have a finish like that, that to me signals we have at least one more match. Which, if that happens, to me, that signifies, and I'm all for like a good feud, but I, if they have another one, to me, normally I'd be like, okay, well, the challenger is eventually going to win one. Mm-hmm. But like, I really feel like Reigns is just going to beat him again and beat him what? That would be like four title matches that they've had. So, which would be like weird. But again, I'm fine with this feud. It's been good. It's been fun. I like it. I'm down.
It all depends on the finish as well. Like, do we finally get a clean finish? But if we do get a clean finish, does that make Owens look bad? Like, there's a lot to decipher, but I don't really mind. I like Kevin Owens. I like Roman Reigns at the moment. So more is good. More is good for me. More is good for me. And I'm it doesn't kick off the WrestleMania season because we're already in it. But, you know, it keeps the ball rolling nicely heading into the event.
Yeah.
So if this is a continuation, I don't care. And then, of course, we had the Rumble matches themselves. Hmm? Bianca Belair.
Good for her.
Yes.
She's really cool.
When it was the final two of... Because we both picked Rhea to win. Did you pick Rhea to win in our predictions? I know I did.
I believe I did. I'm terrible at remembering my predictions, but I thought that she...
I think
that she would win. Because you and I were aligned on that. Yeah, I thought she would win. Because our thought was she'd win, Charlotte would beat Asuka for the belt at an in-between pay-per-view, and we'd get a rematch at Mania, and this time Rhea would beat Charlotte for the title, a la last year's WrestleMania.
Yeah. So when it was when it was Charlotte, Bianca, and Rhea, here we go.
Friggin' Charlotte.
And then they got rid of Charlotte, and it was Rhea and Bianca. I was just like, this is amazing. Like, you've got two women who primarily have been on NXT for their whole WWE careers. Obviously, Bianca's just moved up to SmackDown last year. I think Rhea is now part of the main roster, I've heard, as of
officially
the Rumble.
Makes sense.
So to have them two as the final two, not somebody more established in the casual viewer's eyes, I thought was pretty cool. So either of those two winning, I would have been completely fine with. I would have preferred Rhea because that was just the prediction I made, so it would have been nice to get it. But no, I'm very happy with Bianca, and the prospect of Bianca versus Sasha Banks is mouth-watering at Mania,
I
think it's the way it's going to go.
The promo ability, the intensity, the technicality versus the athleticism aspect. Like, Sasha is so technically sound, and Bianca is strong and athletic, and their styles against each other. That would be a really cool match. And not to put us off on a tangent, because I know we do that easily, how about the, like, women's wrestling factory that NXT has basically turned into? Like, just Charlotte and Becky and Sasha and Bayley and Bianca and Rhea, and even, I guess, if you want to, like, throw Carmella into that mix, and then you get, like, Io and Kairi and Asuka and Ember Moon. Like, even the people who are, like, the bottom of that tier are still, like, quality women's wrestlers. Like, the NXT women's division throughout the years, and there's a multitude of other women that I've missed and that are still crushing it now. Like, I want to throw one more, but I don't want to start the list again, but like Candice LeRae, like just everybody who is like an alumnus of NXT as like a women's wrestler, they have just done so well, apart from Nia Jax because she's awful and doesn't count. But just, man, what a women's like factory. Like, just, you have certain teams like in college football that produce like, you know, great wide receivers or great quarterbacks or great running backs or great defensive backs and things like that. And you've got, you know, certain soccer teams, yes, I said soccer, where they usually produce like really quality like defenders or really quality midfielders or quality wingers. And like, I feel like NXT, for as great as their product has been as a whole, but their ability to just produce like women's studs over and over and over is something that I don't think gets talked about enough, because the majority of the great women's wrestlers that are part of the WWE universe collectively are NXT alumni big time.
Yeah, massively. And they've done a really good job there. And I think when most of the women go up to the main roster, I don't think they're as poorly handled as the guys.
Yeah, which is weird.
Which is really good. I would hate... it's one of I kind of throw everyone in the same pool now because they all are WWE superstars, like all of them. Like you throw them all in the same circle now. There's no, I know that obviously they're separate divisions of men and women, but they're in the same boat. If say like a Kevin Owens or an Aleister Black, a Sami Zayn, any of those guys coming up from NXT, I think it's now just a given that they're just going to be ruined when they go to the main roster. Some come out of it and they, you know, kind of can forge their own main roster path, a la Kevin Owens. But I think I'd be more gutted if one of the women went up from NXT and were poorly handled. So if like Bianca just became like a running joke or like a manager to the Street Profits, something like that.
Which is what we thought was like looking like it was going to happen. And I'm like, are you kidding?
Or Rhea just becomes kind of like a side act, a mid card in the women's division. Like, I think that would bother me more. And I think because of how well the women's division has been in NXT, and I think a lot of the stuff I've enjoyed in NXT has been within the women's division. Like, one of my favorite matches of all time was part of the women's division in NXT. With Bayley and Sasha at TakeOver Brooklyn. Like, I think it actually would... it pains me a little bit more to see the women mishandled because, I mean, like you said, that factory of and churn of talent that is coming out of NXT just on a continuous basis. Right now, there is so much talent there. A year from now, there will still be... they're continuously signing great women... well, women's talent across the world, and it will continue to be that way. And it's just exciting. It's exciting. But yeah, Bianca Belair, happy.
Good for her.
And there's some good surprises actually, as well, with Victoria, Jillian, which I wasn't expecting. That was interesting. Mickie James, that was nice to see Mickie James in there. So maybe, you know, we'll see her on weekly TV a little bit more because I still think she has a lot to give.
She's a good wrestler.
Yeah, I thought it was a decent Rumble, all in all.
I completely agree. I thought it was a good show. And the Women's Rumble was fun. I'm down for, man. I told you off air. When I saw Charlotte in the final grouping, I was just like, God, you got to be kidding me again. Especially when I knew they lost the tag titles. I was like, great, she's gonna win the Rumble. She's gonna win the belt. Such is life. History repeats itself. But no, it wasn't her. I would have been cool. And like you said, I would have been cool with Rhea. Or Bianca, and good for Bianca. She gets her moment in the sun, and hopefully it leads to bigger and better things for her because she is awesome.
And by the way, I only saw this literally just before I came upstairs to record. Did you see Paul Heyman like putting over Bianca on Talking Smack this week?
No, I did not.
Go check it out.
I'll have to go back and watch it.
Go check it out. Like, he puts her over big
time.
That's
cool. Good for her. That's another feather in the cap. She's awesome.
She is literally sat there just like, like, she doesn't know what to say. It's a fantastic view.
That's dope.
And you know what Paul Heyman's like. He knows how to spin a good little push for somebody. And
yeah,
boy, he pushes.
He's been crushing it on Talking Smack. Yes. Everything that he's done.
Some of my favorite segments.
Yeah, it's really cool. I usually catch up on it on Sundays. And that's something I'm excited to. Actually, you know what? You've piqued my interest. I'll probably watch it as soon as you and I are done here.
Mm-hmm. It's good. It's good.
It's pretty cool. Well, I'll just log off right now. Hold on, I'll be back.
I'll be back in a jiff. It's all right. I could just throw like a be right back up. It's fine. Or I can just edit it.
Oh, you could do that, yeah.
I'll just continue just the show on my own. It's not like this wasn't a solo pod to begin with. I can do it. And then we have the men's Rumble match as well, because this is a good segue to our next topic. But before we talk about the winner...
sucks.
No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. Christian. I want to talk about
really
Christian.
Cool.
I mean, we said this about Kenta coming out on AEW to... they have fans, but not a full arena of people. And I know you couldn't really wait a year, 2 years for there to be fans for this moment to happen. Like, it had to happen. If it was going to happen, it had to happen now. It's just a massive shame that he didn't get the pop that Edge got last year.
Yeah.
And I feel like he would have got that pop.
big time. Even just him coming out and doing the, I was like, there's no one there. Like,
maybe that's what he was doing.
It's not the same.
Where is everybody?
Yeah, that's true. Where am I? Are those TVs? Are those TVs? Where? Yeah, that Christian's another one in the long line of, I'm still, as much as I make jokes all the time just to dig at you a little bit, I still want to see Drew have a moment to come out on TV in front of a crowd with the title. Like, I just feel for a lot of these dudes that are getting their moment in the sun. Because we as wrestling fans, we know, like, you can be on top of the world today and you are just a nobody a short month later, let alone, like, a year later. Your moment fades so quickly. And especially for these dudes that are older, like Christian and Edge, you don't know how much left you have in the tank and how much longer you can go. And so any chance they get, I want them to be as appreciated as possible and be able to have their moment as much as they can. And it was really cool to see Christian come out and then him and Edge interacting in the ring when they saw each other. That was dope. But that's, again, another one that I was like, oh, man, this would be so much better if there was a crowd.
Yeah, massively. And going forward, I think he's more or less said that he's working a part-time schedule. So whether that means in-ring, which seemingly he can do, you know, he was pretty physical during the Rumble, or whether that just means talking segments, promos, whatever. More Christian on TV is good for me. He's one of, like, this is, obviously I know we're coming up to the back end of the episode here, but, and, you know, I don't really want to open up a rabbit hole. But you're
going to open up a rabbit hole.
I'll mention it, and if we want to discuss it, we'll discuss it. It's our show. Like, it doesn't matter if it goes over an hour, which it will. This was actually going to be my question, actually, until the Kenta thing. Everyone complains about legends coming back and taking up spots. Goldberg, Taker, to some extent.
True.
I guess you could say Hogan as well.
Gross.
But when it's guys like a Christian or an Edge or a Batista, not so much. There have been complaints about Edge winning the Rumble and stuff like that, but for me, I don't know if it's because I see them through nostalgia goggles, and I should see guys like Hulk Hogan, Taker, Goldberg, and guys like that through nostalgia goggles, Ric Flair. I don't know if it's just because I'm a fan of Edge and Christian, Batista, those kind of guys. The Rock, when he came back and beat CM Punk at Royal Rumble, like, 6-7 years ago, whenever it was, didn't mind. It's a weird one, because I'm a very, very big... He's like, Goldberg's back to take a spot of somebody else.
Yeah.
And now he's going to take the title. You know, Edge is no different. He's come back and he's won the Rumble, which a younger guy could have had. You know, he's had his time in the sun, but I don't care. It's a weird one for me. Like, where do you stand?
I think the nostalgia factor plays a big one. I'm generally not a fan of it, almost regardless of who it is, especially being in, like, a primetime thing. Like, if someone wants to come back and have a run, I'm fine with it, but I don't really like them in high-profile things. Edge, to me, is different because, one, and I think this is pretty objective because I dig at you for liking Edge, but I think Edge is really, like, I think he's quality, but I'm not, like, an Edge head. I'm not a big Edge fan. He's already said that he's going to be working, like, full-time now that he's back.
That's the difference.
And I also, that's a big difference. And also, I believe that if he hadn't gotten hurt, he would have been working full-time this whole time. So I understand he's still a legend, and he's still a person who comes back to take away a spot from a younger guy. But at the end of the day, he's still able to work some really quality stuff, and he's working a full-time schedule. I'm fine with it, especially around, like, Mania season, because, as we've talked about, WWE wants to do, like, a 9-hour WrestleMania show, whether it's one day or 2 days. You got to find a way to fill content somehow. So throw some Legends matches in there. I'm fine with that. I would hope they would be used to get some guys over and propel some things and give us some stuff. But I think for the majority of people, I definitely think it's based on, are you a fan of that person or not? Like, if you're over Hulk Hogan, when he comes back, everybody's like, get this dude off my TV. But if The Rock comes and does the same segment, everybody's like, oh my God, I love The Rock. Yeah, bring him back. Let's have him on TV. So I think there is bias to it. But for me, it depends on their – I'm generally against it. Edge to me is different because he's going to work a full-time schedule, and I'm fine with it. And also, dude suffered a legitimately, like, career-ending type of injury, and he worked his butt off to come back and to be able to wrestle. If you have a problem with a dude who worked for, like, 10 years to come back and do what he loves and you're complaining about it, like, shut up.
Yeah.
Like, just shut up. Like, what I personally would much rather have preferred, like, Adam Cole to win the Royal Rumble or Kevin Owens or Sami Zayn or, like, any one of these dudes who, like, I'm a bigger fan of and who I would like to see get a better push and who are younger and can build new stars and all those things. But I have absolutely no problem with Edge winning the Royal Rumble. And again, to each his own. But if you're complaining, and I really couldn't believe that. I thought when Edge won, I was like, oh, everybody will be behind this. And there were so many people, man, a part-timer, man, a legend. Dude didn't know if he would be able to, like, move his body again, let alone wrestle. Yeah. And then he came back. Like, just shut up and appreciate the fact that this dude, like, and that's even a bigger part, too. He's had this comeback. Because he hasn't been able to wrestle for the last, like, 10 years. Had he not gotten hurt, he probably would have just kept wrestling.
Yeah.
But he couldn't because his body almost broke. And then he worked to get it back. And even that, imagine working your butt off to come back and do what you love. And you're back for, like, a split second. And then you get hurt and it gets taken away from you again. And then you have to build yourself back up and come back. Just appreciate that and shut up. Like, oh, like, I – and even that, if he wanted – like, he came all the way back. And if he wanted to be like, no, I'm only going to do, like, one Raw a month or whatever, I'd be like, whatever. He's earned it. But he's going to do a full-time schedule. The dude was on friggin' NXT. Like, man, I just really feel like sometimes people just will not be happy with anything. I was really surprised to see how many people were upset that Edge won the Rumble. I thought that was a feel-good story – for everyone. Like, that's even a non-Edge fan like myself, like, I was like, oh, that's awesome. Like, man, that's crazy.
And the fact that he wrestled the following night after going an hour in that Rumble against Randy, and because as soon as I saw it was going to be Orton and Edge main event in Raw, I knew we still had the Alexa Fiend thing looming over Orton. I thought it's going to be a non-starter. But it wasn't. It was an actual fully-fledged match between the two of them
And it was almost like 20 minutes, yeah? So it was like a decently long match.
There you go. What more do you want? What more do you want?
And then he went on NXT and wrestled again. No, he did not wrestle again. He appeared. Or no, he did wrestle. I don't know. I didn't watch NXT. Don't kill me. But just... Oh, man.
And
just,
SmackDown. He was on SmackDown as well.
Just, man. Just appreciate the fact that he busted his butt. And he's a really quality worker and a really quality promo. And... Yeah. Just shut up. Don't get it.
Well, I was saying that, going down that rabbit hole of legends and then obviously ending up with Edge there, it segues perfectly into this segment, which I will reduce the time down on. But who should Edge face at WrestleMania? He hasn't made his decision as of recording. I think most roads are pointing towards Roman Reigns. I'm just going off what I... You could put any three of them actually in there based on his interactions with them this week. But I feel the one with Reigns was a bit more kind of moving in that direction. The one with Drew was just like why have you not kicked my head off? Like, just giving me compliments. Whereas SmackDown was more like Reigns, like, bow, acknowledge me, all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Making it a bit more. Bit more, not personal, but a bit more threatening from Reigns to him, which... And you got the whole babyface heel dynamic as well going on there. But
very true.
Who do you think he should face at WrestleMania?
Where's the money? I don't want it to be Drew because I don't think there's anything there really between the two of them. I'm torn on Roman because... I want Reigns to continue to hold on to this belt.
Yeah.
And I would be upset if Edge beat Roman. And because I only see two outcomes out of that match. Either Edge beats Roman or Roman goes full heel and just almost like puts Edge down type of thing, like beats him down so bad. And I don't really want to see that. I also think it's interesting, like both of them do the spear. I could see, I don't know why that it sticks in my head, and I could
you
see,
know,
like,
WWE will promote spear versus spear. Absolutely.
Exactly. And or like if they fight each other at Mania and like the stipulation is neither man can use the spear or like something like that. Like I personally want to see Finn Balor just because I want to see Balor get some more shine. And I think him and Balor against each other would be a really cool, really fun match. I think it would be good to see the NXT title in a high profile match at WrestleMania.
That's rumored.
With a dude like Edge. Yep, that is rumored. That is my vote. Just, I think him and Roman would be my number two, but either of those outcomes I don't see as being fun or as good. I would like to see him face Balor, and I see that as the more realistic of everything, but I think Roman's a close two. I'm trying to get in the mind of Vince. Me personally, just to answer that question and keep the segment short, I want to see Edge versus Finn.
I think that'd be pretty cool as well. It would be on Mania, let's be honest. It's not going to be on some, well, I say throwaway takeover. They're not throwaways, but because Beth Phoenix would no doubt be announcing that match.
Mm.
So I think that would be a pretty cool moment. But it's like you said, it's a difficult one because I don't want Reigns to drop the title anytime soon because he's absolutely killing it.
Although you could really solidify a heel run for him by, again, feel good moment, Edge comes back, he wins, everybody's loving Edge, and imagine Reigns like beating him to a pulp, like, and really just even pushing that head of the table tribal chief thing even further. But then in the same token, you could be like, all right, congratulations, you beat like a 50-year-old man, like, shut up. Like, I don't know.
It's difficult because I would pop for a big Edge win, but Roman Reigns.
So would I, but I wouldn't like it long term.
No, exactly. But and Roman Reigns has been built up so well over the last 6-7 months that you kind of go, and this feeds back into what we were just talking about, a legend coming back and taking the spot. I'd rather it be somebody else who could get the rub from Reigns.
Yes.
Edge doesn't need that.
Yes.
Although, to a lesser extent, I would take Edge. I would.
It's so tough.
It is tough. I would take Edge beating Reigns at WrestleMania if Reigns doesn't let it affect and undo all the things that he's done to this point. So if he, I don't know, the next episode of SmackDown absolutely destroys Edge and takes the belt off Edge at the next pay-per-view, something like that, I think that would kind of lessen the blow a little bit. So I'm going to go Reigns.
It's so hard.
I'm going to go Reigns. But definitely not Drew. I don't know. I think their styles would mesh, but story-wise and build-wise.
That's my thing. I just don't see, like, it doesn't make sense as much.
No.
I'm very torn.
No. I'm going to go Reigns. I'm going to go Balor, Reigns. We'll see where he goes. But I think he's going to go Reigns. And finally, to wrap things up, Cesaro.
Oof.
He signed a new contract this past week, I believe. And before that was even a thing, he's been getting a push since, well, the turn of the year. He had a decent run as a tag team with Shinsuke. I don't think that's dead and buried yet. Because Nakamura's watching his Daniel Bryan match backstage this week, so there's obviously still something there. But Cesaro's picking up wins, big wins. He's beaten Daniel Bryan twice. Who else did he beat? He beat somebody else pretty high profile a couple of weeks back going into the Rumble. I can't remember who it was. But he's been looking... he's looking pretty damn good in singles competition at the moment. And he had that little bout of respect at the end of his match with Daniel Bryan this week as well. And he got busted open as well. That looked pretty...
He did.
I didn't actually see what made that happen. Usually I go back and go like, when did that happen?
Yeah.
But I didn't do that.
Where did
this
you
week.
Hit?
I was like 7 hours deep into wrestling. Oh, yeah. SmackDown was the last show I watched. I was like, yeah, I'm not doing that. I'll just carry on watching it. Do you think that they're going to pull the trigger on Cesaro? I'm not talking, yeah, let's make him world champion anytime soon. But do you think this is kind of the start of something for him? Or do you think it's just going to be, here's Cesaro, let's showcase him for a month and he's back down into a tag team?
I read that they were trying to push him in that gauntlet and have him be the guy and give him like a Kofi type run. Here's what always holds me back, and as much as I love Cesaro, and he's gotten better on the mic, but he's not good on the mic. And I think because of that, that'll always make WWE second guess themselves on him and what he's doing. I really want him to get some kind of push out of it. Like, even talking back to where we were going with Roman Reigns, I would really love for Big E or Cesaro to be the one to finally dethrone Roman Reigns. Mm. Like, I would love to see Cesaro, you know, oh, could you? Damn, I just thought of it was right. Imagine, because Cesaro's so strong, imagine Roman going for the spear and connecting with Cesaro's midsection for the spear, but instead of going down, Cesaro just, like, catches him then hooks the legs and then, like catches him and almost puts him in, like, a headlock and stops him dead in his tracks and then flips the – and then hooks his legs, swings him, sharpshooter, Roman taps out, like – oh, I really hope it's the start of something for him. And the fact that he's got those two high-profile wins against Daniel Bryan, he's gotten some more mic time, he's gotten some burn. I just don't know if that promo ability is going to hold him back, because that's really important to WWE. And with him being on SmackDown, I don't know if they view him – like, the guy who beats Roman, I think, has to have it all – or when we'll get launched to the moon or has already got to be somewhat on a rocket. I don't know if they think he's that guy. I, however, would be all for it, because I think he's been one of the best dudes in the world for a long time. He's just always been relegated to some kind of like backup duty and some second fiddle role. If you had to press me, I think he could get like a upper mid-card role. But I don't know if we'll ever see. I don't know if we'll ever see him as like the guy or the title holder for one of the shows.
Yeah, I don't necessarily think that it's too little, too late, because I never think that's the case. Anybody on their day,
Kofi, man.
Yeah, exactly. Best example you could come up with that. But yeah, just because of WWE's tendency to stop start with people, and Cesaro's seen it in spades, you know, since he's been with the company. But can you remember the last time Cesaro actually had a significant singles feud? Because I really can't. I was trying to think of this earlier when I was coming up with the topics. I was like, I genuinely cannot remember the last time he had.
Well, the only thing I can think of was when he and Sheamus had that back and forth that led to them becoming the bar.
And that was one of that was one of those rare cases where I was happy for him to be relegated to a tag team, because the bar actually ended up being one of my favorite tag teams ever. But yeah, I think that's probably right, you know.
Yeah, right. And
then from there he kind of floated around for a little bit and then was put into the artist directive, if I think that's what they called, artist collective with Sammy and Shinsuke, and then just went off with Shinsuke up until a month ago, I think it was. I don't know. I just hope he gets something significant before his time is done, because he's on the back nine. He's approaching the clubhouse. You know, I want him to have something significant before he retires, or, you know, reduces his schedule or whatever he ends up doing. And he seemingly is going babyface. I don't know if I prefer Cesaro as a babyface or a heel, to be honest with you. But he seemingly is going babyface after that show of respect, because it's very rare when you don't off the back of that.
Yeah, you can't do that and then go back to being a jerk the next week. I think his moveset screams babyface. You can't have a move like the swing and like not be a babyface.
You remember, it's on social media, it pops up all the time. It was on a Raw 5 years ago or something like that. It was when the club, or the, what did they call themselves, the OC, Gallows and Anderson, he literally goes crazy, like takes
he gets the hot tag and cleans house. Like,
it's
like
one of the greatest hot tags ever. You know, that I want that white hot Cesaro. That kind of, if you're gonna give him a baby face run, that kind of Cesaro is what I want. But I could see him with a run with the IC title at some point, given in that picture. Okay. But I just don't see him in the world title picture, which so many people want to see. But to your point, I think that promo ability holds him back. But it's surprising because when you do you watch Up Up Down Down or anything like that?
Yes, he is very charismatic.
Exactly. He's got charisma for days on Up Up Down Down. So it's strange that that doesn't translate to TV, but I guess he can be himself on Up
That's
Up
exactly
Down
it.
Down. He's not being
handed the script. He even had more charisma when he was in CZW and that whole feud with Ring of Honor. Like, he has it, but it's when you're being given a script in and of itself, it's hard. But when you're being given a script that's not, like, believable or not what you're good at, perfect example, I was watching clips of Roman Reigns from 2 years ago, and it was just god-awful. And I don't think he got better as a promo, but the character that he is just fits.
Yeah.
He's good at it. I don't think they give Cesaro what he's good at, which in his case is more natural, open dialogue, just be yourself, be charismatic, be dynamic. Yeah, he's clever. He's funny. The same thing with, like, when you see him in, like, granted it's not the same thing, but, like, in the WWE ride-alongs and stuff like that. Like, he's funny and he's witty and he's clever, but they hand him these scripts and they're like, memorize all these words, say these things. I don't think he can – his charisma isn't able to come out when he's handed a script. If they let him be himself more, he could have a shot at being a good promo. He's got the charisma for it. You nailed it on the head with what he does on Up, Up, Down, Down. I just don't think that they will relinquish that verbal control that they have over promos for someone like Cesaro.
Yeah.
Which sucks.
Yeah. I think ultimately this is a Cesaro push. That, you know, that's what we're in the midst of at the moment. I think it does have it doesn't have a low ceiling, but it doesn't have a high ceiling either. So I think that's...
Yeah, I think I think you nailed it. Upper mid-card, IC title run. Maybe he gets a shot at, like, Roman or the title holder or something, but I don't see him coming away with the belt.
And I know we've just gone past... Well, I say just gone past the hour, but we're 7 minutes past or a little bit more, including the intro that I need to edit on. Behind the scenes.
Well, we're getting better.
We're getting better. I do want to throw a little tangent before we end, because mentioning Roman Reigns' promo work just then actually reminded me of something. Have you noticed, and it's so awesome when you pick them out. It's really good when you see it. The promo he did on last week's SmackDown with Kevin Owens, I saw it on social media, and since then I've been seeing it all the time because I've gone back and looked at a few other promos as well. Roman Reigns is showing a lot of insecurity. If you go back and watch the SmackDown from last week, his promo with Owens, where they both kind of sat in different rooms.
Yep.
Owens calls him a bully. And
yes.
Roman's reaction to that, so subtle, it is blink and you'll miss it. So subtle. But his facial reaction to it, whether it was done on purpose or not, I don't know. But it's just like it hits him hard. Like, he kind of looks away and then, like, straight back into game face, but it hits him. And then on this week's episode of SmackDown, Edge has stood him up. Like, Edge hasn't even arrived to the arena. He's just like, are you kidding me? Like, I'm like, this is my show, and you're not even going to give me the courtesy of showing up. And, like, he fucking loses his shit. Like, even Paul Heyman sells the reaction. He's like, oh, like, he's taken aback by Roman, just going, ah! Like, I'm just noticing, like, little things of that insecurity. Like, it's so freaking awesome to see Reigns delivering on acting
Yeah.
And promo stuff. And it was last week that I noticed somebody pick it up on social media. And since then, it's all I can see is Roman Reigns is like his insecure side. And that's what I honestly think that's ultimately what this character is based on, is his insecurities. Because how many times has he asked the question, you're gonna stand up the head of the table? Like, you're not going to acknowledge me? Like, it's stuff. Oh, it's amazing.
It's so good. The ones that I'm going to have to go back and check those out. And it gave me goosebumps you describing it. The ones I've noticed are more – he had a couple in the match against Owens at the Rumble. Like, and they're very subtle as well. Like, when he's mounting his offense against Owens and he says the little things like, you don't under, like, and he's not saying it like a tough guy. He's saying it like, you don't understand. I can't lose this. Like, I can't lose this belt. Like, I can't go back to my family. But he's not saying it like – he's puffing up his chest. He's saying it like, yo, my man, like, I can't go back home if I lose this belt. Like, he's saying, yeah, like, that's a – oh, I got goosebumps thinking about it. Because that's such awesome character development. Like, the underlining's not a thing. The underlying motivation and drive for, like, everything that he's doing and where it comes from and who he is and how it's propelling him forward – oof, that's really good. And it's something that, man, like, I didn't know if we'd ever see that from him. Like, the subtlety. He was so just overwhelmingly forward in everything that he did and delivered. And everything just seemed forced and contrived. And you were just like, oh, like, he was to the point when he was a face that, like, if he made, like, a smirk or rolled his eyes, you would have thought that in the script it would be like, Roman, roll eyes now. And he'd be like, okay, once Seth says his line, I'm supposed to roll my eyes and go and shrug my shoulders. Like, it just seems so forced. And with this heel character, that whole head of the table gimmick, like, you hit it. Like, the subtlety that he brings and the edge that he brings. And it really has you, like, noticing what he's doing. And I've noticed it more in match than I have the promo work. And I'm going to go back and watch it now after. And yeah, that's really cool to hear. And it's kudos to him and kudos for WWE to finally, like, let him be able to be himself and do something that he's good at and not forcing a round peg into a square hole. Mm-hmm. And that little things like that really show that he's on his game. And that's really cool because I never thought that we'd see a day where, like, Roman Reigns was the best character in WWE. And again, that's not even a WWE thing. The whole head of the table gimmick is one of the best things going in wrestling today. That's not just WWE. And I think WWE sucks. So the fact that I like it, I think that says something.
Speaks volumes. Yeah, I think the Paul Heyman effect is definitely
that is very Reigns. True.
So maybe that was purposely done. Who knows? But having Paul Heyman in your corner, like in real life, not just, you know, on screen.
Yeah.
There's a benefit to that. And we're definitely seeing that. We have gone past an hour. Again, we will, the day we get below an hour, celebration time. See, we had a technical snag there.
I know. I felt the freeze at the very end. And I was like, what happened? And then I heard you speak again, and I was like, oh, it's back.
Ooh.
Jinxed it.
Right at the very end. So, yeah, before we get to the plugs, I just want to say we do have our 2-year birthday, if you will, or anniversary, whatever you want to call these things, coming up. Your year of being on the show as well, and it all falls around WrestleMania season, and we don't know how we're going to play it at this moment, but we know for damn certain it's going to be at least one night. We are going to go live on Twitch, on the Project Dits Twitch channel,
and
we're going to live watch along WrestleMania. It might be both nights, it might just be one of the nights, but one of those nights at the very least we'll be doing this that you can see right now, but watching along WrestleMania together, which we've never done before.
No.
Which would be pretty cool.
We've done a live recap. Well, not live, but we've done recaps immediately after pay-per-views.
Yes.
But yeah, I've never done a live watch along of anything, even in my own pod stuff. So I am very excited for that. And as I am excited for our ditsiversary coming up. Nice. I just like throwing dits into a whole bunch of things. That's what I was saying earlier.
Everybody does it. Everybody.
It really fits into a lot of stuff. The Discord is still my favorite, just because it's such low hanging fruit and so great. But yeah, I'm excited to be coming up on some memorable dates for the pod and for myself, and wrestling season, Mania season, and it'll be cool to, at the very least, like you said, maybe two live streams. It'll be. Man, we're going to have to get some IV drips, some Red Bulls or Monsters, some waters, because even if we just do one night, we're going to be there for like 17 hours.
Yeah.
But it will be fun.
Yeah, it'll be a good time. It'll be a good time. And speaking of the live front, in 2 weeks' time, as of now, we'll also be doing a live episode of the Dow Pod live on Twitch. So keep an eye out for that as well. I need to have a real good think about how that's going to work and how to play it, because my Twitch channel is very, very interactive with like sound commands that people can use and all that kind of stuff. So I need to obviously disable those. I don't want air horns going off every 2 seconds while we're trying to talk.
That's fair.
But it's trying to use that interactivity and bring it to the pod.
That'd be cool.
I'll be curious to see how we can do that. But you can't move forward and learn without doing it and taking that first step. So, so in 2 weeks' time, as of right now, that's the plan. But, Anthony, you do other on-camera stuff.
I guess.
Why don't you divulge?
Yep, my OnlyFans. It is pretty popular. but, no, yeah, I...
Got some good feet.
Oh, that's creepy. In addition to being the regular co-host here on the Dow Pod, I am also the host of my own podcast called Disguise Coverage. It is a Buffalo Bills podcast of the National Football League, American football, which is the only football because there is no other football. The other sport that has football in it is not. It is called soccer. And so, yeah, you can find me hosting Disguise Coverage. You can find it on YouTube, find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, Facebook, anywhere and everywhere. It's part of the Cover One Sports Network. I'm extremely proud of it. I've had a lot of growing success and buzz around it, so that's pretty awesome. And find me on Twitter at @pro_ant. That's @pro_ant. And yeah, that's me in a nutshell.
As you can see, for those watching video, right above Anthony's head right now, that's his handle. There you go. In case you struggled with what he said, you have it there in visual form as well. Look at us.
I put it in visual form on my pod, and I still say it every time just because I feel like people will be like, is it 2 underscores or 1, or is it, what are those little lines? And I'm just like, I'm just gonna say it just to be sure, cover all bases.
Well, to be fair, on this you can only see one very long line.
Yep, it's the same on mine when I go live, so I'm like, fair enough.
So that's fair. On my side, as it is there, at Project Dits across the board, Instagram, Twitter, and then on YouTube it's just Project Dits. And on Twitch as well. You know, we did say we have a Twitch channel as well. And we also have a Discord server, which you can find in the episode description of any podcast across the Project Dits podcast network, and the link should be active in there. So if you want to be a part of it and see what we are up to behind the scenes, or see when episodes are dropping, or what plans for episodes, like future episodes, are going to be, get in the server. You'll have a good time of it. You can just talk about wrestling in general. There's channels for that as well. And that's really it. We've plugged the live stuff. Mm-hmm.
Your Twitch is really great. People need to get on that. You've had a lot of success with it, and you've built it from nothing, and it's really good and successful, and I'm not just saying that. You've done a really good job. People need to get on that. And I also want to hear you refer to it as Twitch? Twits? I got to figure out the right combo for that. It doesn't flow as easy as Discord, but we need to find something, because you're really great at it, and it's built a lot of momentum, and we got to find a way to get Dits into it.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
I do appreciate that. And you get to be a part of it very, very soon.
I know. I'm very excited to see it. I've never, I've never done anything Twitch related or like live streaming things for those kind of things, apart from my pod, but that's on a different service. So yeah, I'm excited. Be good times.
Good. It's good.
It's good. It's good. It's good.
And
look
at
us.
We're only 2 weeks away. We're only 2 weeks away from that as well. So
look at us.
Look at us.
Look at us.
I will have all the memes and all that kind of stuff ready to go for that show. Rest assured. So yeah, look out for those. There's going to be a lot of look at us.
Look at us.
But yeah, until next time, we'll end the show as we always do on the Dow Pod these days with Anthony's final thoughts.
It's been a big week, and I'm an avid reader, and so I pulled this quote from a very popular Shakespeare tome, and so I'm going to share it with everyone here. I'm just going to pull it up here on my phone. Goodbye.